You make the minds of the faithful to be of one will. Grant that your people would love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the manifold changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated as we sing In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
The first lesson is in Acts 8, 26 through 40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go up towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian and Enoch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked Philip, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of this scripture that he was reading was with him. Now the was this. "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth, And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and Enoch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Zotus, and as he passed through he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm is 150, read responsibly. Alleluia, praise God in his holy temple.
Praise him in the firmament of his power.
Praise him for his mighty acts.
Praise him for his excellent greatness.
Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn.
Praise him with lyre and harp.
Praise him with the tremble and dance.
Praise him with strings and pipe.
Praise him with resounding cymbals.
Praise him with loud clanging cymbals.
Let everything that has breath
praise the Lord. Alleluia.
The second lesson is 1 John 4, 1 through 21. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whatever love has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love, perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Alleluia, the praise to the Lord for the blessings of heaven. And God's holy word, for the word of forgiveness, the words that endure. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to the Lord. The Holy Gospel is that vine in the branches passage of John 15. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please join me in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated. Dear Christian friends, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been almost a year since Debbie had heart surgery at Mayo Clinic, and we're thankful to God and for the surgeons who did such a successful surgery. It was kind of daunting looking back and all that happened, because it was a robotic surgery, not that a robot did it all by himself, but that a surgeon was behind the robot doing the work. But it's daunting to think that you have to stop the heart in order to do the surgery. And so the heart-lung machine is the what keeps the patient alive, kept Debbie alive, making sure the blood is circulated through her body while the surgery is going on. I mean, without that heart-lung machine being connected to that, Debbie wouldn't have survived. And I'm here to tell you that she's here alive and well and in good spirits, circulating amongst the blood is circulating inside of her. Connected. That's what it's about, being connected to a life source. Think of those in the ICU. The patient may be connected to a breathing machine. They may be connected to a heart monitor, to an IV for blood transfusion, or to get the sugar level stabilized to alleviate pain. They may be connected to a catheter or to an oxygen monitor. Wires, tubes, electrodes. It boggles the mind all the extra means to bring healing and support to a patient. Connected. We're reminded of the spiritual connection with Jesus, who says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Last Sunday, we enjoyed a banquet in honor for seniors who graduated from an 8-week course called Launch. And our grandson, Caden, was part of this course, as he will be attending the University of Minnesota this coming fall. Launch is a faith-based course that prepares seniors for leaving home and going to college and other ventures. They were taught about study habits and what to do with your finances while you're away, how to handle others who have a different faith system or no faith at all, how to survive that very secular environment, also how to find a good church while you're in college. It was a great course, and I was really impressed. At the end of the banquet, they were given new Bibles. They knew that a lot of these kids already had their Bibles, but these Bibles could be used to give to their roommate or somebody in their dorm. The pastor explained that Launch was not about leaving, but about sending them into the world as ambassadors. And it keeps them connected to their faith and their church, this course, remaining connected to your church, to your faith. How vitally important this is when so many church youth groups go to college only to lose their faith or become like the world around them. The percentage is pretty high of those that leave a Christian youth group going to college and then losing their faith. But I was impressed with the goals of Launch, preparing these young people and keeping them connected to Jesus. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We live in such a disconnected world, and ever since the garden, when Adam and Eve wanted to become like God, when sin broke in, there was an immediate fracture of our relationship with God, who is holy. There was a ripple effect, separating husband from wife, blaming each other. Then brother against brother, Cain and Abel, the first murder. Then the heavenly and the earthly, the nation against nation. It was a cosmic sin that affected the whole universe. Sin separates us from God, and the chasm disconnects us from the abiding fellowship with an almighty God. No wonder we feel isolated, alone in our fears about life and death, anxious about tomorrow. COVID certainly taught us about the effects of being isolated and disconnected with each other. We couldn't touch each other, giving handshakes or hugs in church. Remember those days? Students couldn't be in school and had to do their work online. Teachers felt the same isolation. We were quarantined in our homes, unable to leave the premises. And we're still feeling the mental after effects of that isolation. As a pastor, I couldn't go into nursing homes to give residents Holy Communion. Can you imagine those poor loved ones who could not have prayer with a pastor or someone else or Holy Communion? Some did their best to stand in front of windows with their phone, talking through a window to their loved ones. Loneliness is the bane of our society today. Clayton Barbeau, a Christian psychologist, says after all the sessions that he's had with patients All the people really want is just 5 minutes of your time. They want to be heard. They want to be understood. We live in a society that is disconnected from God. It's a land of rugged individualism. Apart from God, we're left to our own demise. There is a God-shaped void within each heart and soul of every person. We have a great need not only to acknowledge God, but to experience God. And it's not enough to believe that God is out there somewhere. We must be connected to him. Remember back in the, some of you weren't around, but the late 1980s, Bette Midler sang, "From a Distance." Remember that song, "From a Distance"? It echoes how many see God. And she says, God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. From a distance, you look like my friend. Maybe some of us would like to keep God at a distance, but this is not God's desire. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be with us in our world. The Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, tented among us. He became Emmanuel, God with us. He's not a distance watching God, the world going to hell in a handbasket. He's not at some safe heavenly place throwing some bones out there and watching us fight it out on earth. He is with us, and he shed his blood through his Son Jesus that we might be forgiven of our sins and be one with our Heavenly Father. From a distance? Not at all. God is involved in every facet of our lives. He cares about every aspect of our lives because he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our women have been studying this beautiful gospel text in John 15. This is part of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. And Jesus has left the upper room and is now going out to the garden. And he knows his time on earth is short. His friends, he's going to be arrested and crucified. You would think he might spend his time warning the disciples of what's on the horizon. Prepare for the worst. But instead he says to them, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. The image of the vine or the vineyard would ring true for any Jew, for the nation of Israel was compared to the vineyard of God. Grapevines were used in the temple, laden with gold. After all, this was the land of milk and honey was the fruit of the vine. But Israel was not the true vine. Jesus was. And in the seventh I am statement, I am means there is none other. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is the new Israel. Old Israel had squandered their inheritance as people of God and produced only wild grapes of violence and injustice instead of the good fruit of justice and holiness, according to Isaiah 5. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the obedient Israel who keeps the law perfectly, doing the Father's will and producing good fruit. And those who are united with him in faith, and that means you and me, can also be expected to bear good fruit, even if it's necessary for God to do some pruning from time to time. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide or remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I know some of you are farmers, so you are the experts. I can't even brag about being a gardener, and I'm hoping to have some planters on my deck. That's just about it as far as my gardening this year. But you know what it takes to bring in a healthy crop. Before we moved to Rochester, we lived in the Central Valley of California, and we were surrounded by vineyards, beautiful vineyards. Sun-made raisins came from Kingsburg, where we lived. I got some better knowledge one September as I was invited to a Lutheran women's retreat in Three Rivers, California. It was one of the best retreats I've ever been at. Cindy Steinbeck was the guest speaker, and she was a vine dresser herself along with her father in Paso Robles, California. She beautifully connected the real-life experience of farming grape wine to Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. And she wrote in the book, The Vine Speaks, She shared that in the early stages, two plants are united to the rootstock in a bud from another variety, such as Cabernet Sauvignon, and they are grafted together in union. The rootstock is selected for the soil, the rainfall, the climate, and the vigor of the plant desired. Rootstock is not susceptible to the diseases of pests that attack a vine grown from its own root. Cindy says, Jesus, the vine, is our rootstock. We are grafted into his holy life in baptism or when we come to faith in him. Jesus is our rootstock and not susceptible to disease, death, or sin. So in holy baptism, or when we come to faith in Jesus, we are cut away from the old and placed into a new dwelling or abiding place. Jesus is the master teacher and uses his powerful image for his disciples, the vine and the branches. He is preparing them for a life and ministry apart from his earthly presence, but equipped with the Holy Spirit to be the church, the new Israel to God's glory. We are the new Israel. It's this intimacy of the vine and the branches that God desires for each of us on our earthly journey. There's a key word that is used 10 times in the first 11 verses or so of John 15. And the word abide, it's the abide or remain or dwell. Eugene Peterson uses the words making your home in me. Are you at home with God? Or would you rather keep him at a distance? The word abide is not a suggestion. It's an imperative. It's a command. Jesus is passionate about his disciples, which includes you and me, because he knows, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abiding in Jesus is so crucial in giving us hope in these uncertain times. And it gives us what we need to help others when they're in the grip of fear and anxiety. You might be asked to pray for someone before surgery, but nothing is more important than to assure that patient that they're not alone, that we're with them throughout the whole journey, but more importantly, God is with them. You can pray the life-giving word of God with them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You can pray that God will never leave them nor forsake them. You can pray Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You can pray Matthew 28, that Christ will be with us to the end of the age. It's basically what we proclaim throughout the year. Emmanuel, God with us. How about Psalm 139? What a great passage. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your right hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. So you're saying, well, that's all well and good, Pastor, but what about that pruning part? I want to know a little more about that. I think that's one thing that's hard for us to hear as Christian and as branches of the vine, that we need to be pruned once in a while. Vineyards are beautiful in the spring, aren't they? If you've ever seen them, it's beautiful, that chartreuse color that pops out like this time of year. But the leaves are not what the vineyard is all about. It's about the fruit. Left to itself, a grape plant will always favor new growth over more grapes. It reminds me of the Old Testament passage speaking of disobedient Israel. They did what was right in their own eyes. We need a vine dresser. There are suckers that need to be cut off because they drain the energy from fruit-producing branches. People are like that. And when he finds branches that bear no fruit, he cuts them off. A farmer or vine dresser trains the branches to grow along the trellises, those wires that go between the posts. And he lifts up the branches that are growing in the dirt so that the air and sun can flow through the branches and bear more fruit. Pruning is a necessary part of gaining a successful crop. And that's the hard part for Christians to accept. Notice the words, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. I understand that branch that doesn't bear fruit and God takes it away, but what about those who are bearing fruit? We need pruning too. Farmers will say that pruning is a grower's single most important technique in assuring a plentiful harvest. So if you're serving the Lord faithfully, does that mean there's still some growing pains to endure? How about Paul, St. Paul, who is pruned from his job, his position, his heritage, his pride, and religion? He says in Philippians 3, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Hasn't it been the tough times in life that has drawn you closer to Jesus? It's not fun when you're going through suffering, but looking back, can you see the benefit of his pruning, his tough love? You see, he does it in love, not with a fierce judgment, with the pruning shears. And he knows if we are obedient in faith that we will do far more than we ever anticipated because we have submitted to the Father. R.C. Sproul wrote a book, Surprised by Suffering. And in that book, he describes how God uses our suffering for good. He is certainly not the author of evil or tragedy, but when suffering comes, if we remain connected to the vine, God uses it for good. It's reminiscent of Joseph in the Old Testament, being beaten and left for dead by his brothers. And in the end, when Joseph had risen to a great leadership position in Egypt, and his brothers were fearing for his revenge, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In those darkest moments, when the weight of the world is upon you, being connected allows us to have hope. I'm inspired by the biblical examples of those like Job, who complained in suffering but remained faithful because he had that intimate relationship with God. And one of my favorite passages of one who is facing dire circumstances comes from the prophet Habakkuk, and I invite you to read that sometime in the final chapter. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Amazing. Abide in me, and I in you. This is where it all begins, isn't it? It's the cure for our ills. It's the reason we can have the abundant life now. We don't have to wait. So what's preventing you from this intimate relationship with the vine, Jesus Christ? Reconnect. That's what you're doing right now as you worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Reconnect. Not to religion, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. A person. Have you sat down and spent time with your friend lately? Abiding is all about that most important friendship in your life. In abiding, you seek, long for, thirst for, wait for, see, know, love, hear, and respond to a person. He is our friend. As the old-time hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Prayer is our lifeline to God, isn't it? And as the sap flows from the vine to the branches producing fruit, so the Holy Spirit flows into us to connect us to the life source, Jesus Christ. Our prayers unite us with a loving God who hears our cries, but also speaks love and wisdom to us. One of the best definitions of prayer I know is, prayer is the blood of Christ circulating amongst his people. Our intimate relationship with our Lord is not just one-on-one. It is shared with the body of Christ. Emmanuel, as we draw strength from one another, as we fight the good fight of faith, We need each other in support of life's journey, abiding in Christ, also abiding with one another as a communion of saints. We have a high calling in Christ Jesus to bear fruit that befits repentance. I love fruit, all kinds of fruit, especially berries, but I believe that's why Jesus used this imagery to describe our true purpose in life, and that is to bear fruit and glorify God in the process. Bearing fruit begins with that wonderful word, abide. Abide in him and he in us. He's the connection we need for the abundant life, not only for ourselves, but to that disconnected neighbor, that family member far from God, that youth tempted to jettison his or her faith. We need to remain connected to the life source himself, Jesus Christ. There was a singing group in Columbus, Ohio, that I knew, and the title of their group was, or the name of their group was, Jesus Christ Power and Light Company. I like that. I like that name. It means connected. That's what it's all about, so that we can gain confidence that Jesus is the true I am. And through that relationship, we can find joy in bearing fruit, making a difference in the world. So let the life of the vine flow through you. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
And also with you. Mm-hmm.
Please be seated. We'll receive our offering as you leave the doors here tonight. So let's be seated as we have our prayers for the church.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and all for people according to their needs. Holy God, through your Son, Jesus, we abide in you. Help us to bear fruit as we seek to serve our neighbor. Grant us courage and strength so when we are pruned by the vine dresser, we not only glorify your Son, but bear even more fruit. We give you thanks and praise for your Son, who has made it possible for us to be together with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all that exists. Bring joy to families who are welcoming babies into their lives so they might cherish every moment together. Bring comfort to those who grieve the loss of loved ones, assuring them of the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, we give you thanks for the beauty of your creation, for budding trees and blooming flowers, for a renewal of life on this planet. May we be good stewards of all the resources you have been given, especially water, land, and food. May our care for the world you created be a sign of our devotion to you, the Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of life, you are the source of all healing and rest. Grant your healing mercy to be with all those who struggle with pain or suffering. Surround them with your comfort. Lord, bring hope to the hopeless and provide for the needs of your people each day. We especially remember silently or aloud.
Pastor Doug.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lord, there's so many things we pray about at Emmanuel. Building project on the horizon, calling a pastor. We pray for our call committee, and we pray that you would release those pastors who would be interested in coming to a great place in Rochester with great people willing to march forward with the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me and stand as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive this benediction. As you go, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to grant you his eternal peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Closing hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Remain standing. My faith looks up to thee. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And please stay for our gathering if you can.